1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We're up in St. Joe. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to hear from Jaden Hicks, one of the rookies that really stood out in that preseason game on Saturday. Plus, going to hear from Xavier Worthy and Carson Steele, who was really the story of the if there was
a
preseason game. Carson Steele was that. We're going to hear from all three of them coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Plus, we'll talk about our pickleball grudge match from Friday night.
Victorious pickleball.
That's right. All three of us, part of a victorious outing against Dana and Parks. I can't wait to hear what they have to say about it. They were
A lot of complaining.
So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But over the weekend, like most, I think, NFL fans, maybe you didn't watch all the preseason games. I get that, totally. But you maybe were at least interested in what some of these rookie quarterbacks were doing. All the hype around Caleb Williams, all the discussion around J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. And curious what you guys thought. I want to start with one that impacts us directly. Bo Nix in Denver, because we
stat
can talk,
line is obviously impressive.
We can discuss Caleb Williams, and he's the number one overall pick, and he certainly flashed and showed some moments. But Bo Nix is in a quarterback competition in Denver, and obviously in the AFC West, so it actually means something for us here. What did you guys make of his performance, just real quick? Because you're right, the stat line. You pull up the stat line for Bo Nix, and you're thinking, wow, all right. Things are great. Drew's puffing out his chest.
That's right.
I think.
We're looking good.
15-21, 125 and a touchdown. I'll remind you, that's a 6 yard per attempt. That's the problem.
Fairness, that was Sean Payton's bread and butter there.
That's the only thing I think needs a caveat. One, it's 6 yards an attempt, and it was against second and third stringers. But it's a strong showing. Here's your for you in your Bo Nix theory, Drew, to work out. You need Sean Payton to wake up a little bit. What I mean by wake up, he is treating it like a three-man quarterback competition. If you want Bo Nix to have a chance, you got to update. This isn't
This
isn't 2002. The way quarterback competition, it's not the same. You don't have time. Practices are not two-a-days. You don't have as many practices. You cannot have Bo Nix splitting reps with two or three other quarterbacks. He has to get first-team number one reps, and they got him sharing time with Jarrett Stidham. They got him sharing time with Zach Wilson. And in this next preseason game, Stidham and Nix are flip-flopping. So Nix will get the start. That was already planned, by the way, even before Bo Nix's performance. So, yeah, Bo Nix, promising outing, but it looked a lot like Russell Wilson.
It's just a high-scoring preseason game. I wasn't impressed. It didn't look bad. Obviously, he completed a number of his passes. But versus when I watched Caleb Williams, I'm like, oh, okay, that guy's really talented.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
And you can see it immediately.
Caleb Williams the real deal.
The talent difference between them when you watch them is like all preseason games aren't created equally. You know who else looked good in that game? Zach Wilson and Jason Bean and Sam Ellinger. And I know that for the most part, those aren't going to be massive stars in the NFL unless there's something I'm missing on those players. It is easy to look good in a preseason game when you're dinking and dunking and everybody's in base defense and there's nothing to read and you are the most experienced guy still on the field because you're 5 years older than every other rookie you're playing against in a preseason game. Same thing for Bo Nix. Caleb Williams, obviously, he was the biggest standout. But I thought J.J. McCarthy made some throws.
He was good.
I saw J.J. McCarthy make some not just like what you were talking with Bo Nix. J.J. McCarthy made a couple of those like tight window throws. I'm like, those are throws. I didn't even know you had those in the bag because your guy didn't let you toss. There were a few for him that I was impressed by the window in which he threw. So of all the rookies, I thought Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy stood out the most to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels, though, let's not, you know, in D.C., he had one really nice drive to open the game. He let his team down. He capped it off with a touchdown run. He also had a 3rd-and-7 completion, but it ended up being for, 25 yards or more down the field to Dwame Brown or whatever. I thought that was an impressive throw. So, yeah, I mean, it's preseason, so you keep expectations in check, but I fully agree. Caleb Williams just looked different than the rest. He just
that
did.
One throw rolling to the right.
Yeah, he looked different, and I also forgot, we've mentioned the Bears, and we're like, man, okay, Caleb Williams walks into the best situation for a rookie quarterback in NFL history with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and
Roma Dunze.
We forgot. They have DeAndre Swift now. Forgot about that, I'll be honest, until I saw it. I'm like, oh, wait. And that was on a nice screen pass that he picked up a good chunk of yardage. So that offense, there really is no excuse weapon-wise for Caleb Williams, just the normal rookie stuff. But he looks the part. And Bo Nix, it was a promising performance, Drew. It looked a lot like Russell Wilson.
Correct. This is the thing, though. From the jump, I have been saying that he will be a serviceable quarterback, like top 20, top 15. Bo Nix is not going to be a top 10 quarterback, I don't think, in his career. But he'll be what Baker Mayfield has been, which is serviceable. Baker Mayfield is a serviceable quarterback. That's what Bo Nix is going to be. He's not going to suck, but he'll be a starter.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like he's not going to be a Pro Bowler. But that's what I've said.
Okay, so your description of Bo Nix is a sucky quarterback. I'll just be honest with you. It's a quarterback I don't want anywhere near my roster, Drew. I do not want the pretty good quarterback who can be a Pro Bowl. I don't want him. That's the opposite of what I'm looking for in a quarterback.
That's because you're looking Patrick for a superstar.
If I'm any team, back me up on. Well, God, you weren't doing radio with me when I do Mahomes. I got 10 years worth of radio evidence on my stance that is. The Chiefs spent too long drafting a quarterback and settling for, we get a guy that's pretty good. Nah, screw that. That's the wrong approach. And I've been saying it on this show for other teams for years. You should not just be like, he looks like he's going to be competent. A non-Pro Bowl competent quarterback. Sounds terrible.
I hear you, but in fairness to Drew, I will say, look where the Broncos were at. What were they supposed to do? Go into the season with it being Jared Stidham in their quarterback room with Zach Wilson?
They had to take somebody. I'm fine with them taking
for
Bo
the
Nix.
Last
I didn't like the pick.
For the last like 10 to fine maybe 15 years, the best quarterback that they drafted was Tim Tebow. In all honesty, Paxton Lynch was terrible. Drew Lock did not work. Drew Lock did not work out. I mean, you can just go down the line. Jared Stidham. Stidham was the Patriots, but you get what I'm saying. Like they haven't been able to draft a good quarterback in forever. So I think that. This is the guy that they were looking for. He's really good in college, a little bit older, but it's what they need right now, I think, at least for Sean Payton to keep his job.
The real question is there any chance that you think that this is going to be like the quarterback class where all of a sudden it's like Mahomes and Allen, you know, where Lamar, where like, you know, those couple of classes where you're like, boy, they're like, and that wasn't the same class, but
maybe.
You know, where you're like, there are three absolute, or is it just like any other quarterback class where two guys are Pro Bowl level, two guys are fine and start for a while but don't start forever, and two guys stick.
History would tell us it's going to be no more than two.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, it's tough with Drake May because a lot of people thought he might have been the second most talented quarterback in the draft. And the issue is the landing spot he's in, and that, you know, some people have a theory that, hey, if you're just that special, it doesn't matter. Well,
if you're
Patrick Mahomes or you're Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, I agree. If you're the eighth to tenth best
situation,
then situation matters. And so that's where I struggle with Drake May. So Caleb Williams, of course, is the obvious one, and he's a rookie of the year favorite for a reason and all that. I'm with you where J.J. McCarthy look promising.
Coming out of the draft. I was just impressed.
That's a great
I'm a little bit higher on Jaden Daniels, I guess, than some other people. Like,
he had a long touchdown pass and scored on an opening drive.
Like, if I were putting together like my, you know, most likely to, you know, be viewed as a top 10 quarterback in 3 years. Caleb Williams won. After that, I think Jaden Daniels has a higher ceiling than J.J. McCarthy, so I'll go Jaden Daniels too. Then I would actually list Drake May as far as ability, but I can't with the situation he's in. That's the struggle. But I think Jaden Daniels, what's exciting about him is the ceiling is just way higher. J.J. McCarthy's more polished right now, but Jaden Daniels, because of the dual threat capability, is more exciting.
The thing that would scare me if I were a Washington fan, and I'm not, so I guess I don't have to worry about it because we've got Patrick Mahomes here, is that when we talk about quarterbacks that way, that just like never, I feel like it's a, I mean, this might be every quarterback in fairness. It's like a 1 in 4 times it actually works out where you're like, all that talent is realized.
But you got to take that risk if you're the Commanders.
Oh, for sure. No, they definitely should have taken Jaden Daniels. That's not even my argument necessarily against Bo Nix. No, they should not have gone into the season with him. But if Bo Nix stinks and they go the whole year and they still think Bo Nix stinks, then they should take another quarterback in the top 10 next year.
And they might.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I think they might.
That's my theory, is that, like, there's nothing wrong with taking quarterbacks. Keep taking them. Keep swinging.
In Bo Nix's case, you could take another one next year. But J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, those teams are not.
You got to get 2 years.
Yeah, like, those guys, they're not, even if they suck, it doesn't matter.
Where did Rosen get taken?
Josh Rosen?
Was he top 10?
Yeah.
Because they bailed after a year on that. That's why I'm asking.
That was unique because.
And you got to be, he was bad. He was not just like.
He was terrible, but also a unique circumstance because they fired their coach that year. Yeah. Then they got Cliff, and then they wanted the connection with Kyler Murray who was available.
I think Kyler Murray was an obvious quarterback upgrade. Had they just stuck with Josh Rosen, they would have taken three quarterbacks.
Yeah, Josh Rosen's out of the league, isn't he?
I think so, yes.
I don't know.
If we're making comparisons, like I think
the Rough Riders or something.
I think J.J. McCarthy, Jared Goff, it took him getting to the Lions to really figure it out, and he has figured it out. That might be J.J. McCarthy's ceiling. He's in a spot where he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. He's got a really good really solid offense, really good head coach. Maybe that's his ceiling. I think J.J. McCarthy is in the second best spot besides Caleb Williams because of what he's got. Like, his chances to succeed, I think, are higher than Drake Maye's because of not necessarily talent, but where he's at, and sometimes that's just how it goes.
Right. Well, Kevin O'Connell, you know, one of the brighter young offensive minds in the league, their head coach. Plus the talent. Yeah. I don't think Jaden Daniels' scenario is terrible. I just think of Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff is the OC, right? In DC. The challenge there, I would say, and this is a good problem to have. Let's say Jaden Daniels has a really good rookie season. Great. Cliff Kingsbury will end up leaving in a year or two.
If he'll have to get a new offensive system.
I know people are down on Cliff, but if Cliff gets Jaden Daniels to perform at a very high level in a year or two, he'll be a head coach again. And then you have a defensive-minded head coach, and so you've got to go and hire another OC. That's the argument of why I would never
Kingsbury is a great OC.
Go ahead.
I think Kingsbury is a perfect example of an OC that's really good, but as a head coach, is just I don't know if he's ever going to hit. Like, there's some guys that are like that.
Yeah, but they'll usually give those guys another shot.
Right.
You know, like, you get more than one chance, typically.
Yeah.
Unless you're Spags, you know, they get robbed.
Thinking of some young players in the league, some rookies maybe with a high ceiling, let's go back here to Kansas City in St. Joe. Jaden Hicks, man, he was all over the field. He stood out like crazy in the preseason game. And he looks like someone who could have a very, very high ceiling and be someone that is eventually a long-term starter for this organization and with some of the promise we've already seen. Let's hear from Jaden Hicks.
I'll say the atmosphere, even though it was a preseason game, you know, crowd was still pretty live. But, yeah, I'll say the atmosphere. I would say I'm content with it. There's some plays that I could have made, still plays to be out there. But yeah, overall, I think did all right.
It's just been your comfort as you go into special teams role and learning multiple positions on defense, but also trying to make an impact on specials.
Yeah, I mean, just running down there, using my abilities. But with the new kickoff rule, that's a bit of an adjustment with close spacing and stuff like that. But learning all the roles and plays on the defense, you know, that's going pretty smooth so far. So I'm just looking to keep learning from that and, yeah, keep going from here.
How comfortable has Justin Reed been behind the scenes and how good is it to actually see him get to do something today?
He's been amazing so far, you know, coaching me up. You know, learning what he's learning. He's showing me how to see plays and attack blocks, stuff like that. So he's been such a helpful guy in the room. So
I'm sure he's looking forward to getting back out there today.
Yeah. Yep. Put the helmet on today. So
what could you have done differently on that penalty?
I would just say just aim lower. I try to jump up to tip the ball, but, you know, I got pushed a little bit by the guard at the end of the play. So.
You mentioned a couple of plays that you were thinking about. What was your takeaway from reviewing your performance and watching it, or things that you want to work on, or where you go from here?
Things I need to work on, I would just say, overall, I would just say, yeah, keep playing hard through the whistle. Some plays I was getting a little tired, but, I mean, playing all special teams and stuff like that at the end of the day. But, yeah, just keep going straight through the whistle.
You ever played somewhere hotter than that was Saturday night?
I would probably say that Wisconsin game when I was in college. Yeah, that was pretty hard.
What was the deal like in the locker room, the moments before you got to your first NFL preseason?
It was amazing seeing all the guys getting ready for the game, getting all the jitters out as well. But yeah, it was good. Good atmosphere. I'm sorry.
Were you nervous?
Oh yeah, a little bit. Yeah. First game, yep.
Were you asked to rush much in college?
Yeah. So my responsibility, I was all over doing whatever. So, yeah, we were blitzing at the safety spot.
How do you feel like you are at that part of the game?
I feel like, you know, I can make plays there. So that's good that I'm able to do that in this defense.
So that was Jaden Hicks talking about his first experience in the NFL, albeit even in a preseason game. 27 snaps on Saturday against Jacksonville, and then he got 10 snaps on special teams. And no matter where he was, I mean, he stood out. He was definitely someone you noticed.
He was all over the field.
Someone you noticed out there. And Dave Tobe has given him plenty of praise throughout the offseason anyway. And they, at that point in time, praised him for just being a no-brainer four-phase starter. And you saw that one special teams play as well. So he's going to be someone that's going to provide him a ton of depth this year, also work in a little bit. And then long term, I mean, if this is the last year for Justin Reed in a Chiefs uniform.
Then Brian Cook, Jamari Connor, and Jaden Hicks.
They got plenty of guys. You know, they have some promise behind them.
And
that's why you probably won't end up paying Justin Reed after this year. Not because Justin Reed's not playing at a high level. And he's, by the way, back at practice today, which is really good. But just the financial realization of where you're at, positional values, and where the market's at, and you spend draft picks on the safety area for a reason.
In a lot of ways, it's like, I don't know that they should ever sign a free agent safety again. Like, I know, and it's not that it hasn't worked out. Tyrann Mathieu worked out, and so did Justin Reed. I mean, it's not that they haven't worked out, it's just Jaden Hicks, maybe you find another starter in the fourth. Shamari Connor was in the fourth last year. He was an impactful player his rookie season immediately, and he already looks like he could be better than that. Then we know that they got Brian Cook, who was an impactful player in the second round. Like, they don't, the year before that, just like every year, just pluck some other safety or swing safety slash corner, because remember, L'Jarius Sneed was drafted as a safety slash corner too, another fourth round guy. I mean, it is every single year they take a safety. Juan Thornhill. I'm looking, like, every year they find somebody who contributes under Brett Veach. It seems like maybe they just got a better sense of it than everyone else. First year I found where they, like, didn't have success when they took Patrick Mahomes, and it was Leon McQuay, and that wasn't even Brett Veach.
And I hear that Mahomes guy worked out pretty well, so it's all good. It's all good. Someone else, though, that stood out, not just because of his long hair, but because he got a touchdown and was running hard and might have given them some more flexibility with that roster in the running back room, Carson Steele. He spoke today as well. Here's what he had to say.
Go for Carson. How is that with all the fans here?
You know, it's awesome. Just being able to come out here every day and, you know, play a sport you've been playing since a little kid. Now you get to do it as a job. It's awesome. And seeing all the little kids, you know, kind of mentoring you, growing up, looking at it, it's really a true blessing. So.
How many friends, family, that type of thing, reached out after your preseason performance?
My phone was blowing up a little bit after the family, you know. Just after that game, everybody was so excited for me to be able to go out there. Like I was saying, first game, kind of have some success coming into it. And, you know, so they were all super excited for me.
What do you think would make you a good fit for that fullback role?
Honestly, that was kind of my main goal coming into camp. You know, there's a little bit of talks here and there. And my main goal was trying to be like a Swiss Army knife, try to do it all type of deal. And, you know, wherever they need to put me in is where I can get in. And so, like they were saying, implementing the fullback in there as well, being able to block, especially catch out of the backfield too, not only just being able to run.
Has anybody ever asked you before in your career, Carson, to play fullback?
No, because it really isn't, you know, a super big thing, right. But, you know, being that bigger back, third and one, third and two, it's more of a, I was more of a style of a fullback, but wasn't a true fullback, if that makes sense. And so, you know, it kind of stuck to me, and it's really, you know, helped me get through this camp as well.
What have you heard from the coaches since Saturday night's game?
You know, obviously, you know, we didn't come out with a W, which that's the main goal for the team. But, you know, we just got to keep getting better, keep working at it. You know, everybody's really excited just to see, you know, the outcome of this season. You know, what everybody's wanting, everybody's fighting for. And, you know, so we just got to attack the day and keep going at it.
You get any feedback on how you play?
Personally, I did a little bit, but, you know, we're really on to the next game, and that's kind of how we go. You know, I was excited, celebrated, you know, that night a little bit, scoring the first touchdown, but after that, it was kind of go time for the next week.
How did you feel like you did on the special teams part of it?
I feel pretty good. You know, I was learning the new rules and stuff about the kickoff, so that's a little different to me, and I hadn't played special teams in a little while, since like freshman, sophomore year of college. So definitely was something new to me, and really got to learn from there.
As an undrafted guy, you pick your team. What was attractive about Kansas City?
Just like I was saying, Coach Reed's had his fullbacks before. They didn't have one last year, and you know, talking with the coaches and stuff as I, you know, got picked up, that was kind of more of a, you know, kind of thing we talked about, being that, you know, coming in on packages, third and one, third and twos, and being able to be a bigger guy and block, especially catching out of the backfield too as well.
Have you ever been a lead blocker? Have you ever played fullback baseline in your career and had to be a lead blocker for a tailback?
I had blocked like lead back before. UCLA, we kind of did a three-back thing where we were blocking short yardage stuff, but never like a true fullback I'd played before.
How many teams do you feel like were more interested in you as a fullback? Like, at what point did you start to think I need to think about playing fullback and running back?
That was kind of the big talks coming into, you know, training for the draft, especially just like I was saying before, being a bigger back. You know, teams talked about it a lot, but they also talked about me being running back too, so it's kind of a 50-50 toss-up.
You had a lot of nicknames in college. Have your teammates latched onto one yet?
There's been a few. The favorite one I would say is Crocodile, because my pet alligator. I would say that's probably the big one coming into it. So.
Yeah, you beat me to that,
can you? Yeah, I spoiled the news. Yeah, I got him second, third grade probably. It's a Christmas present, and yeah, so I've had him a little while now, and he's probably around 4 or 5 feet.
How many pounds?
Is it a crocodile or an alligator?
Alligator, yeah, but I named him Crocky J when I was younger because I thought it sounded a little better. So, but yeah, he's I would say probably 90 to 100 pounds. Yeah, he's in a big aquarium back home, so.
Few more.
They didn't let you bring him here?
I'm not for sure yet because you have to have you have to have a bunch of permits and stuff. I definitely couldn't have him out in LA, so.
Was there a moment things kind of clicked for you, maybe here in camp or maybe earlier than that?
For sure. I would just say, you know, having the other running backs too really helping me out. You know, Pacheco and all those other guys, Clyde, they're really helping me learn the plays and stuff like that. So that's definitely been one of my big things, to be able to click throughout this camp and trying to stay with the big guys, you know, roll with them and really learning all the plays and getting the full detail to it.
All right, so that was Carson Steele.
Crocky Joe.
Crocky Joe. He said he wasn't allowed to have it in L.A.
So his parents just going to watch this crocodile for the rest of their lives?
That's what I'm wondering. Is he, like you said, it's...
I think of the family dog.
It's still his crocodile, but if you haven't taken care of it in 4 years or something, that's a little... What's the permit situation in Missouri or Kansas for a 4 foot crocodile?
Can't speak to that.
Or alligator.
We'll have to do some research.
I'm sure not
some
many
legal
people
research
have
coming your way, Gold.
I do think he's going to help this team in short yardage, though. In all seriousness, I think they have their fullback slash running back, kind of the Anthony Sherman role plus more, and he's going to make this team. I'll be really surprised at this point if he doesn't make this team. But that he was. I think he's going to become a fan favorite pretty quickly with the hair, with the alligator story, and if he suddenly solves some of their issues in short yards. I know Andy was asked earlier today, like, hey, do you feel like you were missing the fullback in short yards last year? He downplayed it and said, not really.
We just had to do things different.
Yeah, but I think it could be a big asset for the Chiefs. Coming up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending, and we had Justin Ross, Chiefs wide receiver, join us after practice right here on 610 Sports Radio.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending as we continue to broadcast live here at Chiefs Training Camp. We're inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Good news at practice today. We saw Nick Bolton back out there. We saw Justin Reed for the first time at camp out here as looks like he is starting to progress forward off the NFI list. We also saw Kadarius Toney practicing. So that was the positive news. Also, we heard from Andy Reid, found out that Hollywood Brown did not require surgery with that serious dislocated clavicle. And that he did not fully rule him out for week one. It wasn't something definitive like that. So there's a chance, I would say, that Hollywood Brown misses minimal time.
Big injury updates over the last couple of days, because today the Cincinnati Bengals announced that Amarius Mims, who's had a very good training camp and a good first preseason game, he's out several weeks due to a strained pec. Said his week one is very much up in the air. Remember, they play them in week two, so they could be without their starting right tackle for that game as well. So, yeah, injuries are always happening in the NFL, whether in a game or not.
Well, and thinking of the pectoral injury, remember, that's another one. Like, we're still far enough away, I'm not worried yet, but here at Chiefs camp, remember, Joe Tooney's really not been working because of last season's injury.
Yeah, and I still think that, you know, by time, maybe he'll get back up and going by that. But, yeah, we actually do have to keep an eye on that moving forward. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals begin a big three-game set against the Twins up in Minneapolis tonight. It'll be Brady Singer on the mound against Pablo Lopez for the Royals. They split their series over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, against the Cardinals. They were off yesterday. No, it was not a rainout. No, it's not. You couldn't find the game. The new scheduling situation in Major League Baseball creates for an occasional uncommon off day, which is what happened there. So the Royals were just randomly off on a Sunday.
It was weird. It really was.
Honest, bizarre.
It was
bizarre.
I was like, what do I? So I ended up, we went to a couple breweries here in town with some friends and stuff. Somebody else like, hey, do you want to go see a movie? Someone else asked. Like, everybody's trying to figure out, like, what? This is weird. Usually you at least have some.
Can we go do something? There's no Chiefs games right now, and the Royals aren't even playing.
It was bizarre. That's for sure. And the Olympics, that's the next step on what's trending. Olympics wrapped up, so you didn't have that. Once the women's national team game was over, that was it for the Olympics. The U.S. finished tied with China for 40 gold medals, but they clearly won the overall medal count. They just blew away the competition. Both the U.S. men and women win gold in basketball over France, the host country. The women won by one yesterday, so it was a very good Olympics for the United States, and it turned out just to be a really eventful couple of weeks. And next up, United States, at least for summer, 2028 out in L.A.
That's going to be a lot of fun. U.S. time zones, too?
U.S. time zones, flag football. We'll see how baseball approaches it. If they're smart, they allow there to be a pause in the baseball season. I don't know if they'll actually do that, but that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Bobby Wood Jr. going for a gold medal. Please sign me up for that.
Next up on What's Trending, Adam Schefter just reporting that edge rusher Hassan Reddick has now officially requested a trade from the Jets. If you're curious when that trade, you're like, wait, didn't he just get to the Jets? Yeah, he just got to the Jets. He got traded on April 1st of this year to the Jets. So, I mean, that literally just happened in exchange for a 2026 third-round pick that become a second-round pick if specific terms are not met. I'm assuming those terms are at least not met at the moment. He was obviously a premier free agent when signing a couple of years ago. But, yeah, he just got traded to the Jets in April. He has now officially requested a trade.
What a mess.
To get out of New York.
That's hilarious.
Never change, Jets. Never change. Can you keep a guy happy for 4 months?
Well, they look.
5 months.
It's not even about keeping him happy. They traded for him knowing he wanted to get paid.
And then they're like, wait, you want to get paid that much? Like, what do you think this was about, dude? That was why I wanted out in the first place.
That's hilarious. I mean, honestly, I just have to laugh at that one, especially since it's the Jets.
It's just hilarious.
When you trade for a player that wants an extension, usually
they want to be extended.
That's why the Eagles were willing to trade him, because they knew they weren't giving him.
What a wild notion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he'll actually get somewhere. I guess he's on the block. So if you're in need of a pass rusher on August 12th, that is every team, he is available. He's been a very effective player. He just wants a lot of money, which is not surprising because he's been pretty productive.
Wow.
So, yeah, Hassan Reddick has officially requested a trade. It's not a fake account from Adam Schefter's official account.
We'll see what happens there. But so Brandon Ayuk, here we are a week later, still has not got traded, despite multiple reports saying he was getting traded. So we're back to where he was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago with Brandon Ayuk, it was, we were like, there's no reason to trade him. Last week, everybody was like, oh, he's got to get traded. Got to get traded. And here we are, he still hasn't been traded. I feel like we're back to where we were, and that was all just a waste of time last week. And then now you got Hassan Reddick, so we can have the same conversations about him.
So they traded a third-round pick that could become a second from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what the conditions are, but, I mean,
if he plays for their team, it's a second.
If you trade him, do those conditions go to the other team?
I don't
probably
know.
Not. You would think that it would be like he has to play X number of games or get X number of sacks for your squad. He's not going to do that if he's not on the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a situation where it's like,
is it for the year if he gets him, no matter who he played for?
Well, no. I mean, if he's on a different team, I would imagine either the Jets have to give you the better of, if you move on from him, they have to give you the better, or if it just automatically goes down to the worst compensation. I'm not sure how that would work. I don't think we've really had a scenario like this before, where a team could trade for someone and 4 months later turn around and maybe have to trade him with him and him ever playing a snap for them.
That's so weird.
Has that happened?
He's 29 years old. He's entering the final year of his contract. So they gave up a third-round pick for a guy in the minimum,
like,
in
honestly,
the final year of his contract, and then decided they weren't even willing to pay him.
So weird. Has that happened before? We've seen a player gets traded midseason and then doesn't stay with
the team. I've
never
seen a guy get traded in April and then
never play a snap, possibly, which is what could happen with the Jets.
I don't personally recall seeing that.
Neither do I. I'm sure somebody will have that eventually. Yeah,
it'll be some tungsten arm O'Doul or whatever. But yeah, I don't. It's not going to be common. I don't think you often trade for a player knowing they want a contract and then trade him before the season starts.
Weird. All right, earlier today we had Chiefs wide receiver Justin Ross join us here on the show, our player interviews with Chiefs players, presented by St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. We asked him how camp had been going, but also, like, hey, what's it got to look like this go-around for you to not only make the team, but maybe have a bigger role? Justin Ross, post-practice today, stepping up. You guys practicing on the rain a little bit? Yeah, we felt like Andy maybe wanted that at some point during camp.
Yeah, man, I think we were much rather practicing rainy grass than the turf anyways, though, so there's no problem with us.
And soften it up a little bit? Why would you rather practice in the rain?
You know that turf, man. That turf get pretty bad on your knees and everything like that. So we'd rather come out here in the grass.
When you look at your performance in the preseason game, I think people pointed out you've made some big plays at those times. Mm-hmm. What is it you can do differently this year to like make sure the Chiefs are like, yeah, we got to have Justin Ross with us all the time. We got to make sure he's on the roster.
I say probably consistency. I just got to stay consistent and stay in my work.
What about what? I mean, which part of consistency? The route running, the catching? Like, what are they asking from you?
Just to play my role, really, just to go out there when my name is called, just go out there and make the plays that are given to me.
What do you make of the wide receiver room? I mean, there's some familiar faces, but there's also some new guys in the mix as well, some younger guys. What do you make of the entire wide receiver room right now, as we said, only a preseason game in?
We got a great room, man, so far. We got speed, we got size, we got athleticism, we got everything we need in that receiver room right now.
This camp, one thing we've noticed a little bit different from a year ago was immediately at practice going down the field a little bit more. Seems like there's more of an emphasis in going down the field, and you're part of that at times as well. Is that something that has been just so focused in meetings as well?
I mean, just getting back to Chiefs football, man, everybody knows Chiefs football is that downfield, blazing speed, and going to go get big touchdowns. So we're just getting back to that.
When you look at what you guys can do offensively, we had asked, I think it was like Spags that talked about the defensive goals. What do you guys want to be? And Karloftis, is the interior, you guys talking about like, hey, we want to be the number one offense in football again? Is that the way it's talked about?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We want to go out there and just show everybody what we all know, what everybody in Kansas City know, everybody in the nation knows, for real, that Kansas City Chiefs football is that high power football.
How much does that come from just like the Mahomes pressure of it? He seems like he enjoys preseason football than the guys who actually have to play.
Yeah.
Like, no one's more hyped than Pat on the sideline. He seems like he likes preseason football as much as anyone.
Yeah, man. Pat, he'd be ready for all type of action, man. Anything, preseason, regular season, practice, he's always ready and always supporting us.
What's something you've seen him competitive in that isn't football? Like, what's the thing where you're like, all right, rein it in a little bit. We're just all trying to play ping pong or whatever.
Basketball. He's a real big competitor in basketball. He thinks he's like the LeBron of basketball when he comes to that.
Who's the best player on the team, do you think?
I'm not going to really shy away from myself, for real.
Okay, there we go.
I say myself.
You got the right height for it. I mean, I feel like that's got to give you an advantage over some guys.
Yeah,
who's your biggest competition then on the team for that?
Competition? I don't know, man. I got myself sweeping the whole room.
We got Justin Ross hanging out with us here on 610 Sports Radio. We were just talking a little while ago about the new kickoffs, and like clearly, even the player, everybody's trying to figure out this thing. Take me through that particular sequence, and from watching, I know you weren't on the field, I don't think, at that particular instance, but what did you see there? It seems like the rule got screwed up, even with the replay officials, and it shouldn't have been a safety.
I the rules are a little weird. It's new, so they still have a couple things they have to fill out, and I feel like that's just going to come with the time, for real. So that specific play though, I really can't call it, for real. It was a weird play. It dropped right on the 1 yard line. We trying to get a touchback, so it's kind of weird with the rules.
Do you like the rule change? Because the numbers have shown so far that there's like 80% of the returns or kickoffs are actually being returned, whereas last year there was very few. And that the goal of the NFL was to get more returns. I would imagine you would like that as someone that has an opportunity maybe to be out there sometime.
No, as far as returns, I feel like it's going to help the game a lot. But as far as like the rule changes and stuff, it's just going to take a little time to get used to.
So we've asked this of players before that have had really good camps or have caught in buzz. Maybe in like Creed Humphrey's rookie year. Mm-hmm. Do you get a sense that you're like a fan favorite on social media? Are you aware of that?
I feel like the fans, they've been around with me since I got here. So, I mean, I play my part, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and they keep supporting me.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit. Some of the stuff we like to do, because we don't know you off the field.
Right.
Last guest we just had on said that they're starting to work on their original car from high school.
Yeah.
They're going to start fixing up. What kind of things do you do off the field?
I'm from Alabama, so I like to do stuff outside. I like to fish. I like to ride four-wheelers, hunt, stuff like that. So,
do you have a property then? You like to get, like, do you be on, like, a big plot of land somewhere?
I don't have my own property yet, but I have friends back home. We go out there and ride. We go out there and fish and do all types of stuff.
What do you like to catch?
Bass.
Bass, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Yeah, for sure. Hey. Bass, catfish, and stuff like that.
I don't know anything about fish. I don't know anything.
Okay, can you... If you catch it, do you just release it, or can you catch it, skin it, cook it? Can you go through, like, the whole process?
I can't do it, but depends on the day. We can definitely round them up. And,
okay, so as a group, you guys can handle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can't do it by myself.
Well, then we got to know whether or not you can cook or not. You know?
Oh, yeah, I'm not the best cook now. I'm not the best cook, but I can prep. I can prep food for sure, but I'm not the best cook.
And we've talked to a couple of your teammates. A lot of praise for Carl Loftus, and they said maybe he's the best griller on the entire team.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
You got to get in that group. I mean,
hey, he says he only invites the defensive ends, but if you just start showing some interest.
Yeah, I just got to show up one day. They're not going to turn me around.
We're talking to Justin Ross. How are you just feeling health-wise? Everybody knows your story, and obviously I think that's another reason why people have been rooting for you to be on this team over the last couple of years. How are you just feeling physically, and do you feel like you're further enough removed now from some of your past injury history?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling 100% healthy. I'm ready to get to it this year, ready to finish out this whole season healthy and with a great mindset.
Do you have a chance to talk to Hollywood? Obviously a scary injury for him on Saturday.
Yeah, I did talk to him. I just told him I was praying for him, man, just get well soon.
Sounds like he got to avoid surgery at least, so, like, good news. I mean, those, like, on field, those initial things when you're starting to hear, hey, he might be hurt, it might be this kind of injury, is there like a little bit of a buzz to it? Do you guys just try to put it ahead, behind you, and then deal with it after the game, you know?
That's our brother, so it's going to always be on our mind, but we still going to have a task at hand at the time, so we're going to have to finish the game. But that's our brother. We always think about him.
What are you trying to get out of the rest of preseason? You got two more left? Mm-hmm. What are you going to try to get out of it personally?
I got to score a touchdown, man. I got to go out there and I got to score a touchdown, man. I couldn't get one last game, but I feel like I'll get one sooner later.
Okay. I believe in you. I mean, look, you ought to just show them the highlight tape and be like, if we can inside the 10, you mind just tossing one up?
No problem at all. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Well, what's that feeling, though? When you're in the, you know, your opportunity to get a touchdown, you're usually one of the biggest wide receivers on the field that time. Mm-hmm. To just be able to, whether it's going up and mossing somebody or whatever, but just being able to have a ball just thrown up and you're able to go up and get it. Like, that's got to be, other than just the fact it's a touchdown, that you're able to do something that not everybody's able to do.
Right. Now, it feels good, man. I've pretty much been doing that for a long time now, since my high school. So, I mean, it feels good, but I still got some little areas I got to clean up to just make it perfect, to get it the best way I can.
I think we've had other high school. You're probably doing yourself short. I'm going to guess in, like, fourth grade you used to run shot on some sport against other people. I feel like superior athletes identify themselves early.
Yeah, I was pretty good. Like I said, basketball, I was pretty good. I was pretty good back then.
Did you watch any of the Olympics then? Did you have a chance to watch the men's?
I watched a couple games, little tads and bits of it. Yeah.
What's your favorite sport outside of the basketball for that?
I played baseball. I played baseball also back in the day.
You played baseball too?
Yeah, I played baseball.
What position?
I played shortstop, I played third base, and I played a little right field.
Okay, what style of player were you? The home run hitter, the speed guy, obviously, I'm sure played a factor.
Yeah, I can hit. I can hit a little bit. Yeah, I'll probably go up fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you play in the softball game that they had?
I didn't make it this year.
I feel like this would have been. Who was it? Was it LRZ? Had never played baseball before. He goes up and
hit a home run.
It's a home run. Hits a home run right away or something.
Yeah. No, he's talented, man.
But it just feels like one of those things that if you're going to do it, you might as well do it. You got to get out to the K. You guys are next door.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just figure
man.
Out a way to get you a chance to take some BP on the field. They probably let you do that. See if you can still get one out.
Yes, sir. No problem at all.
All right, Justin. Appreciate it, man. We'll let you get back up there.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
That was Justin Ross a little bit earlier on today after practice, battling for a roster spot yet again in that very deep wide receiver room, more competitive this year at camp than it was a season ago. And you heard him say that preseason, what does he have to do? He's got to get a touchdown in his mind. Got to show some consistency, and he'll certainly have plenty of opportunities in these next two preseason games, I would imagine, to get even more work out there, coupled with the injury to Hollywood Brown, all of that. So we'll see it play out. And it turns out he can play some baseball. I didn't know that, actually. That was new. I didn't know he had played some baseball, but...
I mean, I think if you're just, like, that good of an athlete, they probably get you to play any sport that you can convince them to play.
It seems like, yes, if you've made it to this level, even if you're someone battling for a roster spot, you clearly were always athletic as a kid. Yeah. Clearly.
I would think that that's on there.
I just always imagine it would be, and that's why I asked him the question. Maybe I worded it poorly or whatever, but like, if you're that tall and that you know, basically have that kind of physical stature over a shorter cornerback, just being able, like, we
to
know
pluck
people
it over
can,
the top
you,
of their
like,
head.
You can go dunk on somebody, but like, just in being able to go up and high point a football in a contested catch, it's got to be an unbelievable feeling.
I do every once in a while, like, it almost feels like a joke, but it's not. Like, I've almost sent a. I mean, it must be amazing to just, like, it's the same thing. It's like to just, like, slug a homer.
Mm-hmm.
To just hit the ball, like, 450
feet. It's got to feel incredible, I'm sure.
I'll never know that feeling. No. I made one backhand play. That was a, by the way, that wasn't even a forehand. I made one backhand hit in a pickleball match with Dana and Parks while full diving into a stanchion, and I feel like $1 million.
And we've heard about it nonstop since. Think about
what a play! Come on, about, admit that you wouldn't have believed I did that unless you saw it.
I gave you your props
you
earlier.
You did give me my props.
I was impressed. That's a big reason why we stay alive and won that game. That was a game point. If that thing, I don't know if I would have got to it on my side. You came across the court, dove essentially not dove, but ran and then fell into the barrier and saved it.
I think dove sounds better.
This Justin Ross. He definitely, whenever there's a video that gets put out on social media of a catch, it seems like everybody is like, "Oh my gosh, this is that's what you kind of asked me."
I'm kind of
And I know we've joked about him on the show or whatever. If you know, my whole thing has always been it was more camp last year. People were talking about him last year as if he was going to have a huge impact, and of course, even on last year's team, that didn't happen. This year, if he makes the team, he's not going to have a huge impact. He's just not.
I'd like him to have an impact in the red zone.
Right.
Have a place where you definitively impact the team. I think that matters more.
Right. We had to have people donate money anytime they brought him up on the text line because it got out of control.
He played in 10 games last year.
He did.
Which is more than he played at any other point.
He did.
But he finished the season with 6 catches for 53 yards.
Correct.
In an offense where they were desperately looking for some wide receivers. And he didn't get a touchdown, which is another place where it feels like they could take advantage.
So we'll see. Like, he also missed some time last year. He had the off-the-field incident, right, that put him on the I think he was on the commissioner's exemplar for a brief period of time. So,
yeah, it didn't last long.
That was something that got resolved or whatever. But, yeah, we'll see, man. And people on the text line said, hey, he seems like someone that they are rooting for or whatever. Yeah, it was good to talk to him. We haven't had him on the show before. We've talked about him plenty.
For a team that has finished in the bottom of the red zone like 3 of the last 5 years, not bottom, but like mm-hmm. 2 below average for the number of points that they score, I still think there's a role for him. You and I, our whole thing was just like, it had been overinflated. I just need you guys to stop falling in love. Just understand what he is as a player and be appreciative of that. Yeah. That if there ever is a jump ball, he'll probably go over to the top of somebody's head and snag it. That's all.
You got out of having to hear the Colts song today.
All right.
In full. We
played. I can't
believe
you guys are comparing me to him. That's offensive, okay?
What he sounds like is what you're going to sound like in FM. On 96.5 The Fan.
Jeez.
That's what you're going to sound like in FM.
I bet you, Cody.
I think that's,
you're going to be way better.
I think that's a problem for you, man.
Screw that guy.
I think you're in trouble. I think you're in trouble with the 96.5 The Fan switch singing ability and everything.
We don't know. We'll find out on Thursday.
Tomorrow, with a lot of rain in the forecast, there's a good chance we're in studio tomorrow and not up here at training camp. But we're back at it tomorrow. 10-2, we'll be talking Royals baseball, I'm sure, as the Royals try to get this series with the Twins started off right. C-Dot and Rob, I think Rob's back from his honeymoon, maybe?
Yes.
That's coming up next.